Well, in case you did not know, you're listening to the Purium Health Products Weekly Wednesday Education Conference Call, where we get together to talk about different challenges, issues, nutrition, nutritional supplements, and just offer knowledge that you can take back to your daily lives and you can apply in your daily lives, because Dave and I believe that knowledge is power, so we want to share that knowledge with you and then therefore empower yourself to go out and deal with these issues and make more informed decisions in your life. So I think it's about time that we get started. Dave, are you there?
I am, and I've gone ahead and put the call into moderator mode. And I want to ask everybody to go ahead and hit *6 now on your phone, and that will allow you to, if you would like to, speak to someone without it being heard over and on our call. We would appreciate that. And as Amy was saying, these are our Wednesday night consumer education series. The purpose of these calls is to share knowledge, and we hope that the knowledge that we share is going to impact people's lives in a positive way, help them to make better, more informed decisions when they're faced with health challenges. We are not doctors. We do not profess to provide cures or to offer medical advice. Actually, to the contrary, we are the anti-doctors. We are the people who want to help you remain healthy so you don't need to go and be treated by a doctor. And the best way to do that is with the big P word, and that's called prevention. And prevention is the best part of cure, it was once said. And so since prevention is the best part of curing, then in a certain way, we are offering you a type of healing, because the best healing is the one that's never needed. So just like the best doctor is the one that's never needed, and the best medicine is the medicine that's never needed. And so that having been said, we are going to focus on a subject that has been played over and over in the news. And there has been so much information, Amy, that's been bandied about. I've seen this, the focus of a 60 Minutes. It was the focus of 2020. It was the focus of CNN, which had some brilliant information. It was the focus of a, who is the gentleman who interviews everybody, the older gentleman. Amy, do you remember? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I'm 2020.
No, it's okay. But it was the focus of so many different people. There's more attention. So the fact that we're coming here with you this tonight, it may seem like we've already heard it all. And the important part is that Amy and I believe part of the service that we provide is sorting through information, helping to boil down information, to put it into an easy-to-understand format, maybe even sort out the part that isn't necessarily true or believable, or bring you the latest information that is most credible. And we hope that we're able to do that tonight. And so, Amy, that having been said, would you please let everybody know how they could listen to this again or pass it on, and all of those other goodies that you're just so good at helping people keep informed about?
Okay. Well, we do try to make it as easy as possible to re-access this information and pass it along and share it with friends and family members. And the first way that we do that is we archive it on our website. You can go to phporder.com. You can click on the education tab and then click on the conference call link, and you can download it right there, put it into your iPod or burn a CD, or you can listen to it right there online on your computer. Also, you can call into the replay line. The replay line will start tomorrow. You can access that by calling 212-461-8911, and it will play for 7 days. Also, if we have your email address on file, we'll email you out a web link. So you can click right on that in the body of your email, and it will play, the conference call will play for you, or you can forward it along to anyone that you think may find this information beneficial.
Absolutely. Well, that having been said, let's go ahead and jump into tonight's subject matter.
Great. Well, with it being Autism Awareness Month, we focused our Monday Morning Health Minute on the subject of autism, and that is what the subject of this call tonight is going to be as well. So Dave, I know that you, if all of you listening don't know, Dave has spent probably the past 20 years researching nutrition and health and natural healing, and he's written a book called The Green Foods Bible that's just really excellent reading that I encourage everyone to pick up a copy if they haven't read that book yet. But Dave has lots of experience, and we're really lucky to have him with us sharing that knowledge with us tonight. So why don't we talk a little bit about autism, Dave, and why don't we just jump right in and get started with the information?
Great. Well, the first question we always ask is, what is autism? And only a few years ago, it was almost unknown. It was often confused with Down syndrome by those who are unfamiliar with it, or dismissed as mental retardation by others. However, autism was simply not on the radar. People weren't picking it up. In fact, only now is this truly troubling condition being studied, and insights into its cause, care, and even treatment protocols are starting to emerge. Amy, why don't you take it from there?
Autism is a severe and permanent behavioral disorder that causes a defect in the brain development. Autism has no known single cause or cure, and that's what makes it so challenging to deal with. The disease is characterized by an inability to communicate in a normal manner, perhaps intellectual retardation, and incapacity to develop social relationships. Autistic individuals also show a pronounced unresponsiveness to love and affection, oftentimes developing attachments to specific objects rather than to human beings. Autistic cases occur with varying degrees of severity. And as you can imagine, as a parent of an autistic child, how torturous that would be, to watch your child go through that and to have your child be unresponsive to the dedication and to the love and the affection that you are, giving and providing to that child.
And the crazy thing is that your child will appear to develop normally for several months, up to a year and a half or longer before the signs are evident. But more and more evidence is being compiled that suggests that with diligent, constant, and intense therapy, plus an educated focus on nutrition and eliminating food allergens, eliminating toxins within the body, that children have a much greater quality of life than once thought possible. And many are actually reawakening parts of their minds that people thought had been permanently shut down or were not accessible. So, new evidence suggests that autism is near epidemic proportions, and parents, rich and poor alike, are being affected. That's the reason why Amy and I felt it was important to create this autism battle plan. We wanted to help people understand and cope with the condition. But we do know that with diligent and loving dedication, many or all of the symptoms of autism can and have been reversed in certain individuals. And you can get your child back. And it's that hope that keeps Amy and I going and keeping, offering that hope to people, is that with diligent care, you can make a change in your child's life. Now, anybody who has a child knows that you'll do anything for them. So, Amy, why don't you talk about, we've done a significant amount of research, and I think that we've narrowed down the potential causes of autism to the most likely subjects, as they say. So do you want to cover that for our audience?
Absolutely. Well, as we said before, the underlying causer is still unknown. However, there's been research that shows that causative factors occurring during pregnancy and or infancy can include a decrease in serotonin activity in the central nervous system, can perhaps be a cause of autism. A generic predisposition to the development of disease can also be a cause. Viral infections, again, if the mother was pregnant or had a viral infection during pregnancy or the infant, can be a causative factor infant vaccination. That's one that's been a very hot topic in the news. Jenny McCarthy was on Larry King. Is that who you were talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, now you know.
Well, it just came out to the vaccinations. I'm sorry. and that has been an extremely, a topic that's been talked about a lot in the media. Also, food allergies. That topic is not talked about quite as much as the vaccinations, but food allergies can be a problem. Yeast infections, candida in the mother or in the infant, a deficiency of digestive enzymes can also be a causative factor, as well as fetal alcohol syndrome or heavy metal and lead poisoning.
And mercury, yeah. The heavy metal, of course, covers the mercury.
Right. And that is a lot to do. The mercury, I'm glad you brought that up. That is, it's the mercury and the vaccination connection, because I believe that a lot of times a mercury compound is used as the preservative in the infant vaccination, and that's one of the main objections to the vaccinations in regards to autism.
Well, I think that, let's take a tiny bit closer look at each of these, the decrease in serotonin activity in the central nervous system. We're gonna show how the mother's diet during pregnancy could actually contribute to that. A genetic predisposition to developing the disease is something that I don't think a genetic predisposition that's handed down like from multiple generations. I think it is a one or two generational erosion of the integrity of that reproductive capability. So, in other words, I believe that it's the erosion caused over one or maybe two generations that could contribute to that. Viral infections. Viruses are literally, they're parasites, and they tap into and they reprogram the DNA of your cells. When these viruses are affecting very young children, that is a potential trigger, and it is more like the camel's back type of being broken there. Now, the reason Amy was talking about infant vaccinations and heavy metals, yes, the infant vaccinations have the mercury, and that mercury actually allows viruses to proliferate. So you have, again, a combined effect, not a single cause. However, while we're on the subject of infant vaccinations, we have to remember that there was a movement toward, there was a cost-saving decision made. And the decision was to put 10 or 12 vaccinations in a single vial in order to save money.
Mm-hmm.
And the single vial dose did not need to have a preservative, but the multiple dose vials did. And while at one time we were focusing on the vaccination itself, like let's say the ethyl mercury or the methyl mercury, and the government in a tacit sort of tacitly admitting that there was a problem changed from ethyl to methyl mercury, and now supposedly 100% of the vaccinations are free of a compound that they agree was toxic. But now they believe that the other form of mercury isn't as toxic or isn't toxic at all. However, it just may be that the, I think it's, I forget the name of it, it's trimethylide or something like that, the preservative in the vaccination may be also one of those straws that ultimately break the camel's back, something that contributes to the destruction of the, you know, of that part of the child's central nervous system in their brain. So, and then food allergies. There are toxins called dioxins, and there are also gluten intolerances. And if these dioxins, which are come when yeast or mold grows on grains, and these super low levels don't seem to bother healthy adults or even weaker people, but young babies who are developing, they can't and shouldn't be exposed to these dioxins or toxins and food allergies that may come particularly in foods like grains and dairy products. And then yeast infections, again, this candida, this overtaking of the body, is a sign of a weakened immune system. The deficiency of digestive enzymes is again, as we get down the list, yeast infections, deficiency of digestive enzymes, fetal alcohol syndrome, these are potentially less, in other words, these are not as likely as the things we mentioned above, but the heavy metal poisoning certainly is. Amy, we were talking and some of these facts you should know, and we found something really surprising that's changed since we wrote this battle plan 2 years ago. Do you want to share that new information with our audience?
Yeah, in the 2 years or so that in between the times we've been doing the research, the numbers have drastically increased from back then 1 in 500 births would be affected, 1 in 500 children would be affected with autism, and now the number is shocking. Is it 1 in 150?
For young ladies, yes, and a little more common, 1 in 110 for young men. And it may be as high as 1 in 200 in girls and as low as 1 in 95 for boys, according to some research. But I feel comfortable with the, let's say, somewhere around average, one around 125 to 150 children. And to me, that seems almost epidemic, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's pretty scary for anyone wanting to have a child or anyone having a young child.
Well, let's cover some of these facts, Amy, a little back and forth. Autism is the third most common developmental disorder, and closing fast, it may be the first most common now.
Absolutely. And then another thing is that previously it was believed that parental neglect was a causative factor in autism, and that has been disproved with research. It does not have to do with parental neglect.
In other words, well, if this child isn't developing emotionally, it must be because the parents are unloving.
Right.
Completely.
So imagine the guilt trip that puts on the set of parents that are lovingly, you know, caring.
And takes responsibility off of the government and off of the medical community, of course.
Exactly.
And, Amy, autistic individuals can become somewhat self-sufficient. However, at this time, the prognosis is that they will need some form of lifelong care. But we think that the prospects are getting better.
Absolutely. And this is an unfortunate statistic, but only 1 in 20 autistic children will show improvement by adulthood.
And the nice part is, Amy, you know how the other number went the wrong way?
Right.
Well, this number is now more like 1 in 10. And so the methods of stimulation and of regeneration of from this condition, it's improving.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, they've given the clinical sort of approach they don't seem to give much hope, do they?
No, they don't. The medical community pretty much just says you're going to have to deal with this for the rest of your life.
And they talk about IQs and things that are very measurable, right?
Right.
They typically say that children with an IQ above 50 might be able to take care of themselves pretty good and have some normal adjustment with appropriate therapy. But IQ tests could be wrong. We see that in the case of, like, idiot savants, and things of that nature, and also some highly functioning forms of autism are starting to emerge. Many children afflicted with autism actually show an extraordinary talent in some specific area from time to time, and it may be just the powers of observation, just that they happen to notice things that other people don't. But they're definitely, you know, they say that, you know, the lights are on but nobody's home. Well, in this case, the lights may not appear to be on, but I guarantee that there is a living, loving, caring human being just waiting to find their way out of the box that somehow they have gotten themselves into. And we need to think about it that way. We need to think about that we need to find a way to let this person out of that entrapment, because they are waiting to emerge. And when I saw the highly functioning autistic children that were being interviewed on some of these shows, and when I saw how the Prime Minister or one of the ministers of Chad, a very influential man, has dedicated like something like $500 million to a study where he brings the leading research and all of the latest information. And it is just a huge effort is being made by people all over the world against this, and we are going to see more and more promising therapies emerge. In the meantime, it's very important that you recognize as early as possible the signs and symptoms, because the earlier you detect it, the earlier you can treat it. Isn't that right, Amy?
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the signs and symptoms that you can look for in your infant or young child. One of them could be a language disorder, signs of mental retardation, compulsive type behavior.
Repeatedly doing something over and over.
Exactly. Perhaps self-destructive behavior, as well as hyperactivity and auditory hypersensitivity, like if loud noises bother them, things like that, sudden movements. Also showing a profound social despondency, as well as perhaps parrot-like repetition of words and phrases, spoken or irrational outbursts, or also paranoia.
Definitely. And the point is that, you know, some of these things may be common among kids. You may see a child and it's like, there's a language disorder. It's not a big deal if your child has a lisp or if they, happen to, appear. It's when you look and you go, well, there's a language disorder and irrational outbursts of paranoia and self-destructive behavior and profound social despondency. When you start to see two or three or four, then you've got to start to be very concerned. But we don't want to create paranoia. We just want to create involved and observed approach to this. Because
exactly.
Remember,
awareness of something.
Awareness,
that
correct.
Might be happening.
Typically from here we go to a section of our battle plan called treatment. But in reality, no effective medical treatments currently exist for autism. There are many alternative therapies that promote normal serotonin metabolism, minimizing the amounts of nervous system toxins. And these things have been shown to help a significant number of autistic individuals. We strongly recommend the following modulation of vaccinations. And we're not doctors, and we want you to get your doctor's permission or advice, but really you are the one who makes the decision in the United States. It is ultimately your decision. But our advice to you is to modulate the vaccinations that your child receives by requesting single-dose vials, even if you have to pull money out of your pocket and pay for that. That way they won't contain the potentially dangerous preservatives. I would not, if it were my child, give them the vaccination until after they were 3 years old, so that the early brain development stage and the spinal cord development is able to be completed and to be far more developed. And then I would only give them one vaccination per 6 months. I wouldn't allow the doctors to stack vaccinations and to have multiple vaccinations per visit. And yes, that may mean that they'll be 12 years old by the time they've had their final vaccination, but every and for some people you may decide not to have them be vaccinated at all. But if it is your decision to have vaccinations, we strongly advise that you modulate them. Again, by getting single doses, waiting till after they're 3 years old, and only getting one per 6 months. Try to find a doctor that will support that. If not, then ultimately the decision's yours to take the advice of the doctor, the advice that Amy and I are offering, or to follow your own path. But we wanted to tell you that we feel strongly that it is better safe than sorry. Wouldn't you think, Amy?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just saying I think it's better safe than sorry.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Well, let's talk about some things that that we can do on a daily basis, that we can do, in our own homes.
Well, it starts with diet.
Absolutely.
Amy, you talked about the need that a serotonin deficiency may be contributing to this, correct?
Correct.
So if the mother is eating a lot of walnuts and plantain, bananas, plums, and tomatoes, those are very rich in serotonin. And so we would recommend that the mother eat those foods. If you're breastfeeding, that's going to help your baby. You could identify and eliminate food allergens from the diet. Allergens may adversely affect the brain function in a lot of individuals. Autistic individuals could be tested for food allergens. I personally would avoid wheat, sugar, and dairy. But you could have an allergy to any substance. So while you should eliminate wheat, sugar, and dairy from your diet while you're breastfeeding and while you're conceiving and while you're, you know, during that time, again, have your child tested. If they ultimately are, you know, are showing signs of autism, maybe eliminating a food allergen could nip something in the bud.
That's what we're talking about. Like we said, there's no magic bullet. So we're taking a what did you call it earlier, Dave?
Better safe than sorry approach.
A better safe than sorry approach.
What are some other things that they might that people might take a look at in their diet?
Well, just avoiding junk foods in general, avoiding anything with chemical additives, with additives, with artificial colors and flavors. Again, like you said, just reiterating, avoiding sugar and foods containing white flour. Also, drinking purified water. So basically, you just want to just eliminate as many toxins as possible from your food supply.
And exercise helps eliminate toxins as well, so sweating is important.
Absolutely.
So, you know, exercising. And speaking of detoxification, we actually believe that, you know, when you're, we have a pregnancy battle plan, but it's always good to prepare and detoxify your body. And this leads to having a healthy baby. We've focused on that in a couple of calls. And why don't you give some of those recommendations that are good for any woman who is planning on getting pregnant?
Absolutely. Well, consuming foods that aid the liver in detoxification also may help here with an autistic child or for a woman who's planning on getting pregnant. And these foods include like high sulfur content foods such as garlic, legumes, onions, and eggs. 2 to 3 servings of these high sulfur foods daily. Sources of soluble fiber such as pears, oat bran, apples, and legumes, as well as something like activated barley, which is one of our Purium Health products. The cabbage family vegetables, especially broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and cabbage, as well as artichokes, beets, carrots, dandelions, and herbs and spices, including turmeric, cinnamon, and licorice. Try to incorporate 2 to 3 servings of these daily into your diet. And, of course, we want to talk about food. We want to talk about what you buy and what you pick up at the grocery store. But there's also some things that you may not be able to incorporate all these foods in your diet. You may not have a good source. You may not have an organic source of these things that we've talked about. And so we've also put together a regimen of nutritional supplements that if, you know, you want to attack this, as Dave said, on a better safe than sorry, you know, viewpoint, incorporate some of these nutritional supplements that we're going to talk about here in just a moment into your regular diet or into your child's diet as well.
Definitely. Now, let's each one of these foods is going to sort of serve one of our when we go down the list and say, well, what are the potential causes? We want to address those with our food. So chlorella, cilantro, and other forms other green foods, like all of the green foods, but mostly chlorella, will help in heavy metal detoxification. And that's been shown to dramatically improve autistic behavior patterns. The elimination of heavy metals is probably something that everybody could agree upon that would be useful for an autistic child. Now, we have our crack cell chlorella, and we like you to look at taking they're very small tablets. However, what you may want to do is actually use the powder and have a teaspoon or so a day for the child, up to a teaspoon a day, and that will help to chelate the heavy metals. And if you're breastfeeding, you could take it yourself as well. Now, if your child has already been vaccinated, I would prefer that you take a little stronger approach, and we would recommend that you use the fulvic zeolite to rid the body of the mercury and other heavy metals that we know were coming in part and parcel with the vaccination. The fulvic zeolite is a powerful chelator. It's completely natural, and it usually works more rapidly. And it is a liquid, so it's easier to use than chlorella tablets. And assuming the child is 10 to 15 pounds, you could give them 1 to one to three drops twice daily. And that is very, very important. In addition to that, flax seeds and spirulina contain high essential fatty acid profiles, particularly omega-3s, and that improves brain function and learning. And that could always help an autistic child who needs to have that learning ability increased. And as you know, that these omega-3 fatty acids, when consumed by the mother, raises the IQ of the unborn child. And so, as was stated earlier, the higher the IQ of the autistic child, the greater its lifelong potential for being functioning, to be a functional adult. And so that's really important. And the master amino acid complex is important because it feeds the brain vital proteins that moderate erratic behavior, like tryptophan. Tryptophan is a serotonin precursor that actually bypasses the blood-brain barrier. So when we're talking about the the need to increase the the serotonin and things like that, the master aminos is going to really help with that. So each one of these products that we're recommending is going to, as I said, address one of those potential causes. And again, we are eliminating lead poisoning. We are also dealing with the potential of vaccinations. Viral infections can be dealt with. Again, the chlorella can help with that. We also have VirusSure, and VirusSure is and the coconut oil has an antiviral component to it as well. And we have some other things. Amy, why don't you tell them about some of the nutritional side?
Absolutely. Spirulina, which contains vitamin B6 and magnesium, is a great thing to add into the diet because scientific studies have conclusively shown that the combination of B6 and magnesium produces good results in autistic children and adults. So also considerable research has demonstrated that 30 to 60% of autistic children show a significant behavioral improvement and other benefits from the administration of large quantities of vitamin B6 and magnesium. Magnesium deficiency has been shown to cause hearing hypersensitivity and hyperirritability. So we definitely recommend a combination of the spirulina, which has the naturally occurring B vitamins. And for additional magnesium, you might also want to try the ionic element.
And if your child won't take the spirulina, the ionic elements for the magnesium and our rice bran solubles for the B vitamins could be very, very important. As we've stated, history has shown that rice bran is more than capable of providing the necessary B vitamins to have a healthy and growing child. But there's more.
Absolutely. Also, vitamin C is shown or has been shown to significantly reduce the symptoms of autistic behavior. We have a wonderful product called C from Nature that's an all-natural vitamin C. And when we talked about food allergens before, we didn't specifically mention corn, but corn is something that many of us are very allergic to. And most vitamin C's that you find in the marketplace are derived from corn. So it's kind of like you're almost defeating the purpose if you're taking something that you have a high chance of being allergic to. And if food allergies could be causing this problem, you don't want to incorporate that into your diet, although you do need the vitamin C. So C from Nature, taking 6 to 10 capsules daily, is a really good way to supplement that vitamin C source in your diet.
Definitely. Now, again, you could take the capsules, you could open them, you could mix it into a bottle for the child, into applesauce or something for the child, or you could also, if you're breastfeeding, the mother could certainly take that as well. Now, the herbs like ginkgo biloba that is found in our Revive It All is a brain stimulator. It helps increase the neurotransmission and neuroreception activity. And, of course, studies have shown that ginkgo biloba has demonstrated, an increase in blood flow to the brain and central nervous system, enhancing cell nerve function. And so we definitely recommend the Revivadol that has the ginkgo, the superoxide dismutase enzyme. And again, we talked about a lack of enzymes, as well as the specialized protein that helps drive it into and through the blood-brain barrier. There are other obviously important foods that, you know, that may help, things like broccoli and that we've already mentioned, though. Any time you have fruits and vegetables in your diet, they are going to be natural precursors to serotonin, and that is important to remember that, you know, that any foods, not just the ones we mentioned, but all fruits and vegetables to some degree. We just mentioned the ones that are at the very top of the list that science has shown might have the greatest concentration of serotonin. So, that having been said, we have a lot to cover in a short amount of time. So, Amy, do you want to take us to the next portion of this battle plan?
Absolutely. Well, we want to talk about counseling and behavior modification as well as educational programs. That can have a tremendous impact in helping improve your child's autistic behavior and, you know, quality of life. So there are some traditional behavioral approaches to treating autism, including a firmly structured, purposeful educational program, and they have been shown to be very highly beneficial in many cases.
Definitely, and I think that Amy and I both, when we spoke before the call, we wanted to emphasize that while diet and nutrition is important, nothing at all will take the place of a very strict, a very dedicated, and by strict, I don't mean a stern face. I mean strict meaning you have to be strict about it. It has to start in the morning and go till night. It has to be 7 days a week. It has to be many, many hours a day of what is called patterning. Patterning is the latest and most dramatically effective treatment where you will take an autistic child and you'll bring them around other children of their peers that are very energetic, that are very expressive, that are very upbeat, that are very tolerant. And when they're around children like that, they begin to imitate their behavior. And then after they've been around those people, you have to take them and show them pictures and videos where you say, look at, see Johnny? Johnny was happy, and he was happy to see you. So he smiled, and he came over, and he hugged you. Smile and hug equals happy to see you. And it was amazing. I saw a video of this work being done, and after like 10 days of doing this, on the 10th day, the father came home, and the child, the autistic child, for the first time smiled and walked over and hugged the father, and the father was bawling like a baby, just crying. And then the autistic child didn't understand, you know.
That made daddy sad.
Yeah, but the bottom line is this is the most beautiful thing that, I mean, honestly, that you ever see it. It reminded me of the birth that you see. You know, it really was like watching a birth because this father, for the first time, felt affection from his child, and it was a beautiful thing. And so the point is that that this patterning, this constant training and exposing them to things has been dramatically effective. And so, you know, the stimulation with movement and colors and sounds, impressionist art and classical music, along with just anything that keeps that mind stimulated and directs them toward patterned behavior. And that seems to be the most dramatic thing, is it's almost like a train that's got off track and it's chugging, but you got to put it back on track before it could chug in the right direction. And somehow this patterning seems to be, very, very, very effective. But there are other alternative treatments that have shown hope as well. Do you want to cover a couple of those?
Absolutely. Well, there's something called auditory integration training. That's a treatment for the hypersensitivity to sound that's common in autistic individuals. Auditory training exposes the autism sufferer to sounds that are digitally edited to exclude those specific frequencies to which the person might be sensitive. This regular exposure to tolerable sounds is designed to acclimate autistic patients to receive sound normally, thereby increasing their tolerance for hearing every frequency. Auditory achieves positive results for many autistic patients. So it sounds like that there's some noises that just that the child or the person with autism is just very irritating to hear that. And so this auditory training helps to mitigate that irritation.
Fantastic.
There's also something called craniosacral therapy. This is a treatment that manipulates the bones of the skull and the underlying membrane to alleviate pressure and restrictions. It's a type of massage, basically. Craniosacral treatment involves light touch, hands-on therapy that seeks to improve the range of motion in the brain, in the spinal cord, and in the surrounding membranes, as well as the bones and the skull and the spine. Craniosacral therapy has shown to produce marked improvement in autistic behavior. So that also is an alternative treatment that you can seek, and contact your local massage center or school. Contact your local massage therapist and see if they're skilled or if they're certified in craniosacral therapy. Hello?
Yes. Well, that seems really, really, thorough, and I want to thank you for having contributed to that. I know that some people may have some questions, but before we get to the question and answer session, I just wanted to reiterate that our purpose here is to offer hope and to offer education, and that's all that we really are trying to do. And so, we hope that you will download the, we're going to have the updated version of the battle plan available within just a couple of days on the back office. And this call will also be available for review. And all of the information in the battle plan was, in fact, put into this call. And so you have an audio version and you have a written version. And so I would hope that you would take advantage of this, pass it on to interested parties. And Amy, any final word from you before, and again, I would like you in your final word to also give the replay numbers, et cetera, that you that can be utilized.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Basically, just that this is a serious quality of life issue for the parents and the child. And if there's anything that you can do nutritionally, emotionally, behaviorally, you've got to try it. You know, like as they've said, we would pull out any stop we could to benefit our child. So we just want to give you some education, give you some knowledge so you can empower yourself to do that and to give your child or perhaps your grandchild or any child that you know that may be suffering from autism a better chance to have a functional adulthood and a functional childhood. So again, if you know somebody with autism, if you know someone that's planning on getting pregnant, please pass this information along. Have them listen to the conference call either by going to the website at www.phporder.com, clicking on education, and then clicking on conference calls. It'll bring up a link right there. If we have your email address on file, we'll email you out a web link. You can forward that to anyone you think may find this beneficial. Or if you don't want to access it on the computer for the next week, starting tomorrow morning, you can call 212-461-8911, and you can listen to the conference call right over your telephone. So I just want to thank everybody for joining. Unfortunately, I am not going to be able to stay for questions and answers, Dave, but I want to thank you for having me on tonight. It's been a pleasure. I've missed the conference calls, and hopefully I'll be back soon.
And it really is great to have you back. I know that everybody missed your friendly voice and attitude. I always am so serious, and I just chatter off information so fast. They're probably like, whoa, where's Amy? So, so it's great to have you back. And we hope that you'll be joining us as often as you can. In the meantime, I want to excuse you because I know that your folks are in town, and I wouldn't want to cost even 1 minute that you have left with them. And so why don't you go enjoy your time. I'm going to stay on the line and answer any questions that people might have. Okay. Are we there?
Yeah.
Okay, hello. Does anybody have a question about tonight's subject?
No. Hello?
Hello, yes. We have now concluded the main portion of our call, and I will be staying on the line in case anybody has a question that they'd like to ask. If not, I just want to thank everybody for taking time out of your day to be part of our event tonight.
Hello, Dave?
Yes.
Hello? Have you known of autistic individuals that have difficulty with verbal communication improving?
You know, I have seen verbal communication improve and seen it reported, and I've seen studies. In fact, a very dear gentleman, a friend of mine, I'll just call him Gary. He's a German man. He married an Austrian woman. We always joked that they had a mixed marriage. But they had a grandson who was autistic, and they literally pulled out every financial stop, flew all over the world, read every book, all types of research, hired the experts, got 6 hours a day, hands-on training, along with their own work after the trainers were not there and before the trainers were there, and the results were nothing short of dramatic. I would say 50% improvement. They had, no offense, but they had somebody who really was totally unresponsive, vegetative, become responsive and loving. And that's a huge, huge, huge thing. It was that work, his work, that inspired me to want to share some of these secrets with other people that he learned and that other people are using to combat this condition.
That's wonderful. Was it a young child showing the improvement or an adult?
It was a young child.
Okay. Just curious, I'm just starting to work in a group home here with three intellectually disabled gentlemen, and one in particular is definitely autistic. But he's
I would say at that age, the detoxification and the feeding of the brain are the nutritional side, but it's never too late to teach patterning. It's never too late to do that. Remember
which
that when you're asleep, when you wake up, you don't care how long you were asleep, right?
Yeah. Nutritionally, could you go like 1 to 10, what's most important?
I actually did. All you need to do is listen back to this call.
And I've got the battle plan as well.
It will be updated because I'm telling you that when I looked at the battle plan, I said, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that so much was missing because I didn't realize I had learned so much more in the year since I made it originally. So it is updated, and it will be updated on the website within just a couple of days, so please be patient. I've already done it. It just needs to be uploaded. It'll probably happen tomorrow. I just don't want to make a promise I can't keep, so let's say that for sure by Friday.
It's just a bit of a side issue question. For someone that has just heavy metal buildup in their tissues after having, you know, a mouthful of amalgams removed, would the zeolite or the Klaxel chlorella be more important or beneficial?
I would like to see. I basically would like to see you use the chlorella. I guess for the long term, you know, continuous reduction of, you know, of bodily toxins. But if you're really fighting a short term, like solution, like you want to hit it hard, then the fulvic zeolite works faster and is not nutritional at all. It's not like the chlorella that has a 90% of its benefit is nutritional and 10% of it is detoxification. And then if you want detoxification, then the 90% becomes sort of a bonus. You know what I mean? But fulvic zeolite, it eliminates heavy metals and toxins, period. That's its job, its sole job.
Does a 1-ounce bottle go very far?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we actually have, as you know, the packed in glass. It's the highest quality, the lowest price. I think if you get our 3-pack, then that is obviously the lowest price. But
yeah, it's a great savings. I just noticed.
Yeah, it's like that's. I'll tell you, most people I know who buy it and use it, they get a 3-pack just because we wanted to make it the lowest price Fulvic zeolite or zeolite available and the highest quality. And the way to do that is to put it in a 3-pack. So we hope that everybody will take advantage of that. And if a couple of you want to get together, then you could do that. Sir, did you have a question? Okay. Well, hey, everybody, if no one else has a question, that does conclude tonight's consumer education series on autism. If there is another question, though, I'd be happy to answer it.
Maybe tonight's full time.
Okay, well, good night, everybody. God bless.
Thanks,
and
David.
We'll look forward to having
Bye.
You back next Wednesday.
Bye.
A couple
Appreciate
of things, a couple of announcements. Again, I will be coming to New York City. I will be having a couple of lectures May 1st and 3rd there. So if you want information about that, please do give us a call, and we'll be happy to book you a seat. Otherwise, look forward to seeing you all next Wednesday. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.